What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
With the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
You know, we like to call it a hump day edition of the Rodcast, a Ric Flair Woo Wednesday edition of the Rodcast. And today we are out amongst the people. That's where we belong. I already gotten some love. All right, got some. I feel the love every time I go out. We're at La Frontera and basically the 45 tollway. You can't miss it. It's the brand new 7-Eleven. My man Wag said this is his neck of the woods. All right, up here. I think 2801 La Frontera is the actual address. The horn van is parked out front, so you can't miss that. I'm actually a former, is it Pflugervillian? Is that the way to say it? All right. Pflugervillian myself. So, I used to hang out on the north a little bit. So some of my own stomping grounds. But we always get the love we're out. So great reasons for you to come out with us. I just had my man Jeff give him a shout out. Because as soon as I announced that there were dollar sandwiches, all right, dollar deli sandwiches here at 7-Eleven, all you had to do was download the 7 Rewards app. He had already done it. Boom. We just talked about it in crosstalk. He said, oh, dollar sandwiches? Which basically, it means free to me. When I see something as a dollar, that's why the stores that, you know, everything's a dollar and the dollar stores will always survive. Because it's great marketing to say something's a dollar, period. You know what I mean? Always, no matter how the economy is, a dollar, everybody can afford that. So they're hooking you up right here. They're going to give you dollar sandwiches actually all week long until the end of the week. And all you got to do is download the 7 Rewards app. It's just that simple, which I have on my phone too because I got a 7-Eleven right around the corner from my house. And most people have a 7-Eleven somewhere right around the corner from their house. All right, this is a brand new one, so come out here and visit us. I actually been told that they're, for those who come out just to say what's up, because we do get a lot of love and we want to reciprocate the love, we might have some goodies for you too when you come out. We got some goodies. I'm getting the head nod. I'm getting the positive head nod there. I ain't gonna tell you what it is. I can't tell you what it is, but come on out here. Might have some goodies for you. Somebody actually came through. What was his name, Joe? Was it Tim? Tim that came through. He was a USC fan. I'm name dropping because we're getting a lot of love. He's a USC fan came through and he said, "Hey man, what are y'all giving away?" And I was like, "Well, not giving away much, but we might be able to work something out." So now for those who can come through until we don't have any more, we might have something for you. All right, I'll just put it like that. Okay, so you can come out here, La Frontera and the 45 tollway. That's the intersection, but 2801 La Frontera. Always love hanging out at 7-Eleven. During the football season, it's a staple of the Rodcast. Always out and about. Love it. They always show us a lot of love. And now I'm glad that it's happening outside of football season. Thought it was a football season thing. No, we're going to hang out at 7-Eleven a lot more. So, all right, so come on out here. We got a lot to get into. There's Texas basketball. There's Texas baseball. There is Astros news. We're still talking about the mega deal that was signed by Mike Trout. I think, you know, Alex Bregman ends up signing a 6-year, $100 million deal with the Astros. And it was, within 24 hours of that Mike Trout deal. And, you know, Mike Trout, the 12-year, $430 million deal total for him. I want to get into that a little bit because I had a – We had a debate with a friend of mine about the Mike Trout deal, and apparently there are some people who believe that that's a ridiculous amount of money, that may be, you know, that they're overpaying for Mike Trout, 12 years. I think he's, what, 27 years old? So I have a comparison that I want to make on the show about that. We'll talk about that in the first segment. Good news for Longhorn fans as it relates to Brew McCoy, and if Brew McCoy is going to get the hardship waiver so that he can play immediately coming into the 2019 recruiting class for the Longhorns. Tate Martell was actually granted the hardship waiver. So we'll dive into that, too, because to me, and I was on board and I was among the group that predicted Brew McCoy would definitely get the hardship waiver just based on the numbers. I think the numbers are around 79% approval rate of these hardship waivers that are approved. So, I don't understand. I don't know exactly what reason everybody's given to get the hardship waiver. That's different for everybody, of course. And we'll get into some of those examples. But I'm sure Brew McCoy has a good, reason, and he's got as good a case as anybody out there. So we'll talk about that, too, coming up in the show. There is some NBA stories that we got to get into. We're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. The Rockets are one of the teams that they're hot at the right time. I don't know if they're as hot as the Spurs, who've won 9 in a row. And the Spurs are just doing the Spurs, man. Death, taxes, and Spurs. That's what they do. And it doesn't even matter post-Kawhi. The Spurs do not know what it's like to have third-world NBA problems. Like, they got a taste of it with the Kawhi thing. But even that season, they were supposed to fall off a cliff because they lose a superstar. And, nope, the Spurs still have a certain standard they play to. And we'll get into that, too, a little bit because the Spurs are now – and they're not going to win a title, of course. I mean, it's not going to happen. That's not – hell, the Rockets aren't going to win the title, and the Rockets are a really talented team and I think a better team than the Spurs are right now. But, man, it's pretty amazing what's going on in San Antonio and what's been going on for a long time. So we'll dive into that. Cowboys made a signing. They've had a lot of guys visit the last couple of days. They brought in, Clayton Gathers, safety from the Colts, who just recently re-signed with the Colts. They brought in and signed Kerry Hyder. They signed Christian Covington, both of those guys on the defensive line. Christian Covington at the defensive tackle from the Texans. They brought in Eric Berry. They brought in a lot of different guys to kind of look at them. They're sifting through the bargain bins and the clearance racks of free agency. That seems to be the method for the Cowboys. But they signed Randall Cobb. That broke late yesterday. We were talking about it and how it was a perfect fit for the Cowboys and almost a perfect fit for Randall Cobb, too, as an upgrade potentially if he stays healthy over Cole Beasley. Now with Tavon Austin and Randall Cobb, man, that wide receiving core for the Cowboys, it's looking pretty dynamic. And it was destitute a few years ago. Remember when they wanted to go the Dak-friendly offense and everybody kept talking about how bad the wide receiving core was when they got rid of Dez and they went to the Dak-friendly offense before they picked up Amari Cooper? But it's just a matter of 2 years. Now Amari Cooper in that mix, Randall Cobb, one-year deal, signed for a one-year $5 million, I think $5.5 million basically. And he ends up, and now with Randall Cobb, you got Tavon Austin, who was also on a one-year deal, Michael Gallup. And think about it, every position that the Cowboys have basically built up the last 3 or 4 years, they've been able to, upgrade in personnel. They've done it through the draft. They've done the offensive line, upgraded through the draft. When they've upgraded the quarterback through the draft, upgraded, running back through the draft, defensive line, linebacker, the defensive backfield, pretty much everywhere except wide receiver. It's one of the only positions where the Cowboys haven't really focused their attention on in the draft. And maybe they just believe they can get good value for the wide receiver position in free agency. That is the case with Randall Cobb. I think that you got really good value with Randall Cobb if he stays healthy. I think he turns 29 in August, I believe. So we'll get into that, too, because I think it's a really good signing by the Cowboys. The Cowboys are bargain shoppers, man. And most of the really good teams in the NFL who have sustained success, they are bargain shoppers in free agency. I mean, we talked about it and we gave you the numbers, but we'll get back into that a little bit later on in the show, too. All right, so let's start with the Mike Trout contract, which will lead us to the Alex Bregman deal, too. Alex Bregman, who, by the way, has been clutch in the playoffs. That's why he got this deal. I mean, his playoff numbers, I think he's played in something like 26 playoff games. He's got 6 home runs and 15 RBIs in the postseason.
And he's got one hell of a stare down into the camera, Rod.
And he does have a mean stare down. He's got some swagger, no doubt about that, no doubt. And I think, you know, that's where, you know, I think he made this money that the Astros are paying him. 6 years, one. You say, Wax, you say it was 5 years?
Yes, that's correct.
I thought
correct.
I saw it was 6 years. Is it 5 years? Okay, so
I saw
it's 5 years.
The extension, 5 years, $100 million.
5 years, $100 million. And, you know, it's, you know, Alex Bregman at lineup for the Astros, probably that first six, it's going to be nasty for a few years. But I started thinking about the Mike Trout contract because, you know, that's the big money. Once the big money starts, you know, being doled out, then the trickle-down effect happens, and then all the other guys can get paid. That was the complaint from the players during the free agency season that really wasn't a free agency season for Major League Baseball because, you know, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper didn't get paid. Nobody got paid. You know, and once those guys start getting paid, then all the other chips can fall into place. So the Mike Trout deal goes down, and he, you know, 12. Everybody was expecting maybe he would hit the free agent market too at one point.
Well, I think this is actually why they did that, Rod. They had to lock him up so that he wouldn't be able to test arbitration or the free agency.
Yeah, they didn't want to bid on the open market with the rest of the teams against Mike Trout. You didn't want to have to bid against the Yankees and the Red Sox. Hell, even the
Astros
that'll
turn
right
into
now,
$500 million plus real quick.
Exactly. So can we all agree that this is a deal for them? I mean, this is a bargain.
Hell yeah,
for
man! Not enough. This isn't enough money for Mike Trout.
Yeah, exactly. He's the best player at 27 years old. He's the best player in Major League Baseball history, arguably, up until this point in his career. Man, that's and I would say this, and I said it. I was arguing it yesterday. It's Major League Baseball is the reason that they don't get more return on their investment, get more promotion and more name recognition for a guy like Mike Trout. People should know who Mike Trout is, even if they don't like baseball or don't know anything about baseball. And it's up to Major League Baseball when you have a guy that good. Think about this. In certain sports, you'll have the best athlete in that sport or the best, you know, player in that sport. And it'll be a majority opinion by everybody, almost a consensus opinion. When LeBron James was, what Mike Trout is, what, 27? It was a consensus pretty much that LeBron James was the best player in the NBA. Like, we didn't debate it, really. I mean, now it's KD's in that discussion a little bit, but most people are still going to say LeBron. It's a majority. Hell, it was almost a consensus around the time he was 27. Now he's, what, 34, 5, something like that? And, you know, in football, you don't have that. In the NFL, I don't think we ever have gotten to a point in the NFL. When's the last time we got to a point where it was like, this is the undisputed consensus best player pretty much in the game, like LeBron was to the NBA for that stretch and how MJ was in the NBA for that stretch?
Maybe Megatron.
It's tough.
Would you count Megatron? Would you give him those credentials or that accolade for a little bit?
Yeah, but we're gonna debate it right now. People say Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
we're gonna
exactly.
debate that.
Great point.
Right? Because Brady's the GOAT, and then Aaron Rodgers the best quarterback, but Patrick Mahomes is the MVP and something new that we haven't seen. So we'll debate that all day long, and that's the beauty of the NFL. But in basketball, it works a little bit differently. And in baseball, it's amazing that Mike Trout is to Major League Baseball what LeBron is to the NBA in terms of how great he is. And yet Major League Baseball, they don't promote it in the same regard. Like, everybody knows who LeBron is because he's the best player in the NBA. Everybody
in the world. Great point.
Everybody in the world. You don't have to know anything about sports or the NBA. There are people over in Europe who don't give a damn about the NBA. They're like, oh, LeBron James. You know what I mean? They know him. Everybody does. So Mike Trout should get that same recognition, and he does not. That is a shame. You know what I mean? Like, because I think there are guys in the NFL who get more recognition, and they wear a helmet. So I think with this contract, it's up to the team and it's up to Major League Baseball. They got to figure out a way, a strategy to promote the one of the best players in the history of the game in his prime. Like we talked about, Wax, so little boys and young men and, you know, everybody who's aspiring to be a baseball player, they grow up wanting to be the next Mike Trout.
Well, yeah, we talked about that yesterday, man. Emulating or imitating batting stances, right?
Yes, exactly.
How many people do that often these days?
Well, I didn't even like baseball that much, but I did it because of Dion. I can do Dion's batting stance right now. I can stand up and do it right now.
See, I was a Bo Jackson guy, man. I did Bo all the time.
Yeah, and whether it was Ken Griffey or whatever, I mean, I remember that just because, and I remember watching games because of Dion. It was a player that I was infatuated with that I wanted to be like, so, hey, you know what? And I tried to play baseball, and I sucked. I was terrible. My hand-out coordination is really bad. So I got hit in the face a lot of, hit in the face a couple of times with a ball, and that's all you're done. I'm not done with the game. Sorry. I didn't quit a lot of things, but baseball, I was like, I'm done with that. All right? And I think, though, as a young person introduced to the game, and that's the issue for baseball fans who are, you know, I think most of them, a stat that I've seen is that 50% of them are 55 and older, which is, you know, not a good sign for Major League Baseball.
An eyebrow raiser.
Yeah. He should be, you know, the kids should all be trying to be like Mike Trout, man. They should know who he is. And I think baseball is going to do their part. I think Rob Manfred already is. He's called out Mike Trout, but that's not the way you should do it.
Yeah, great point, because a lot of this is on Trout's camp, too. Trout's just he's a quiet dude, man.
He is. But that's why they have to formulate a plan to make it easy for him, too. It's his responsibility.
Correct.
Because of how great he is. And say, sorry, Mike, you are just that damn great. You are LeBron James great.
Baseball needs you, Mike. Baseball needs you, dude.
Yeah, baseball needs you to go out there.
Go be our Superman.
Do what you've been doing on the diamond, but also now off the court. We're going to book Saturday Night Live for you because people don't know you and we need you to do it. Don't worry. All the skits.
And hopefully that doesn't take away from his performance on the diamond, too. I don't think it will, but just saying.
Yeah. He thinks it will, but, you know, I'm not a traditional baseball fan, but, man, Mike Trout's greatness, it's amazing how I think it's underappreciated.
Very much so. I agree.
I think it's underappreciated in this time, considering how good he is in his profession. And when guys are usually that good, everybody knows who they are. But the best boxer in the world is Money Mayweather. Everybody knows who Money Mayweather is for a lot of reasons, good and bad, infamous. But that's kind of the test. And it's only right now, I think, one in five Americans know who Mike Trout is based on Q scores and awareness ratings. So they got a bargain. But they, to get added value on that, they should be pumping him up. So that now that he's there for the next 12 years, the next decade, now you can, even Major League Baseball, the same guys who sent the marketing executives down to the Kyler Murray meeting, now those guys can formulate a plan to promote and market the best player that Major League Baseball seen in, I don't know, 20 years or so, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Joe's telling me to keep going. Go back. You know what I mean? Like, come on. I mean, that's shit. My girlfriend, when I asked her, should know who Mike Trout is. Oh, yeah, Mike Trout. She doesn't know. And that's my litmus test, because she's not a sports fan. But she knows who LeBron is. She knows who Steph Curry is. She knows who James Harden is. She knows Anthony Davis. She's like, the brow. That guy with the eyebrows. Like, yep, great marketing. She knows him because of the eyebrow. She knows James Harden because he dated a Kardashian. Whatever, gets the name out there. But, yeah, the fact that some people are arguing that he's overpaid is ridiculous. It's not. I do like the 12-year deal. Think about it. If you had LeBron James at 27, which Mike Trout is, back to my LeBron James comparison, what would you get? Wouldn't you love to sign him to a 10-year deal? A 12-year deal? LeBron won't let it happen. But if you get the best player in that sport in their prime, oh, man, I'd love to sign him to a 10 or a 12-year deal. In the NFL, it's just, you don't know. There's so much uncertainty about whether a player is going to have the longevity to be able to have that kind of career, if he's going to be a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady. Only a quarterback would get that. I think Michael Vick had a 10-year deal at one point. Not that it means anything in the NFL. I mean, basically in the NFL, every deal is like a 2 or 3-year deal, no matter how many years are in it, because it's all about the guaranteed money, and most of that is front-loaded. Nobody puts the guaranteed money at the back end of a deal. You put it at the front of the deal because you're usually paying the guy in his prime. I think Donovan McNabb had a 12-year deal at one point, too, which usually, you know, in Michael Vick, that was kind of a risk, too. And, you know, it's like I said, NFL deals, all of that is that the years don't really matter. Like, it's those details are not really crucial. What matters is the guaranteed money. In the baseball contracts, we don't care about that because it's all guaranteed straight cash, homie. All right. All right, so we'll come back to it. We'll talk some Astros, too, coming up a little bit later on. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. I want to get into the NBA as well. I want to talk some Spurs and some Rockets. I mean, we can get into it a little bit. It's amazing, though, and I was talking about this with a friend of mine, that the Spurs since 1996 or 1997, They haven't not only not missed the playoffs, but I saw the stat that they have gone 65 days with a losing record since 1996, 1997. And the nearest team to that total, to their first place total since 1997, 98, are the Rockets with 1,007 days with a losing record. The Mavs are actually third, so Texas teams, shout out to the Texas teams, with 1,026 days with a losing record since 1997, 1998. Other than the Boston Celtics, probably way, way back in the day, and even the Patriots, I'm starting to say that the Spurs streak is more impressive than the Patriots. And I used to be a guy that thought the Patriots dynasty was way more impressive and tougher to accomplish than what the Spurs have kind of done and what they've over the time span they've done it. Man, every time I think that the Spurs do something that really balances that argument back out. Last year when they lost Kawhi Leonard in the arguably the worst superstar team breakup in NBA history. He was ghosting the Spurs, like running away from them, not on the bench to support the team openly. It was ugly. And the Spurs, a really classy organization, they're not used to that type of public breakup, that embarrassing type of breakup. No, that's a Tim Duncan franchise. So that was really, really tough for the Spurs. And everybody assumed, man, they're definitely going to, you know, fall off. I mean, it would have been no shock to anybody if the Spurs ended up missing the playoffs. No. Now, that was their worst season since 1996, but they were just one and done in the first round, and they happened to win 57% of their games in their worst season since 1996. Yeah. Death, taxes, and Spurs. So I don't really want to hear Spurs fans complain because they don't really know what it's like to deal with third world NBA problems. Because even in their down years, they're still among the NBA's best. Right now, I think they have the fifth seed in the West behind Portland and Houston. Houston needs that two seed, by the way. Denver's got the two seed. Houston still got some time. They have, 11 games left, I believe. They need to go get Denver in that two seed. Not that it'll matter when Golden State has the one seed, so you'll have to beat Golden State in Golden State. May have to do it more than once, depending on how the series shakes out. But it's amazing that San Antonio is ahead of Oklahoma City right now. And they've lost all of their superstars the last, 4 or 5 years. All those guys who, for this generation of Spurs fans and NBA fans, what they know is the identity of the Spurs. And yet, the culture just keeps going. So it gives me more respect for Pop, too. More respect for Pop. In the Pop, or, you know, they're not going to win titles unless they get, you know, one of those top five players like Kawhi or Tim Duncan in their prime. But really, that's all they got to add to the mix. I don't know how they attract one of those guys. You know, that's why the Spurs like the homegrown talent, because they don't want to go out there and have to recruit those guys. But it's amazing the consistency of the Spurs. Once again, I'm amazed by it. The first time, it's the first time since Pop took over as head coach, by the way, that they last year that they won less than 60% of their games. I mean, that is – it's amazing. As a, even as a Rockets fan, I don't want to admit that. But, man, unbelievable. All right, so we'll come back. I'll talk about the Rockets, too, and how they are close. I think they're 3.5 games out of first. So we'll come back. We'll talk about the Rockets a little bit. I want to get into the Texas basketball team. Big win in the – that's a big win – in the NIT. A win that showed me a lot, 79-73. We'll get into that when we come back. We'll also go behind the burnt orange curtain, talk Texas baseball with a disappointing loss, 11-4 to Arkansas. But they have a chance to bounce back in back-to-back games against the Razorbacks, old Southwest Conference foe. And we'll also talk about Brew McCoy. Good sign that he's going to get his hardship waiver approved by the NCAA based on the Tate Martell news. All of that when we go behind the burnt orange curtain on the other side. We're live from 7-Eleven at Live Frontera, 2801 Live Frontera. Come on out here and join us. If you download the 7 Rewards app right now, you'll get a chance to get dollar deli sandwiches here at 7-Eleven for the rest of the week. Can't beat that. All right, my friends at 7-Eleven hooking you up right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the broadcast. A lot of love out here for the Rod. Needed a paramedic came by, too. I don't know if I should throw a fitness out there. I don't think she's working. She wasn't in uniform, so I think she's good. We're having fun out here. 7-Eleven, La Frontera is where you can join us. 2801 La Frontera. You also can download the 7 Rewards app. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it ain't. All you got to do is download the 7 Rewards app on your phone, and then you're going to get a dollar deli sandwiches. All right, I'm looking at the sign right here. All right, bistro, sub, and deli sandwiches just for a dollar all week long, rest of the week. All you got to do is download the 7-Eleven Rewards app. All right, so I don't know exactly how they're doing it. I'm with BK. BK said, hey, man, just bring me like 10 of those because I have the 7-Eleven Rewards app on my phone. We'll see. If I have to, I'm going to have to go hit up multiple 7-Elevens and get a whole lot of sandwiches. Boom. You know, I mean, that's probably how that's going to work out. All right, so you can always hit me up via Twitter at Rod Babersen. Twitterverse, my man Wags, back at the compound. You can hit him up at Not the Fake Wags. My man Joe is here, twisting and tweaking the dials here on the scene. Joe, what's your Twitter handle? I used to remember it. Joe Houston Jr. Boom. Because he's from Houston.
Joe Houston. Bam. It's Houston.
Houston. You know what I mean? Joe Houston Jr. in the Twitterverse. All right. The Longhorn men's basketball team. They had a big win. They were actually up big in this game versus South Dakota State. It looked like they were going to blow South Dakota State out. And they were doing it in front of, they said it was 1,700 fans. I'm going to say it looked more like 1,100. But that, to me, is a compliment to the Texas basketball team. They had no reason to be motivated by the fans and by the situation or the circumstance. That was about intestinal fortitude. That was about intrinsic motivation. Shock us with the leaders on the team. Dylan Osikowski, a senior, stepping up big, 26 points, 2 steals, 2 rebounds. So, I mean, they were going up against, you know, a team that was a high-powered team, a team that could score. And the Longhorns, you know, in a game that ended up being kind of a shootout in the end, it became way too close for comfort late after Longhorns started hot from 3-point range. They started 4-5 from 3-point range. So it's right now they're going to the second round. They'll play the winner or host the winner of Xavier Toledo in the second round. So maybe they'll get more Longhorn fans to go. You know, we'll talk about the date. Maybe they'll get more Longhorn fans to get out there and support them. There is some interesting tweets, though, from Kirk Bowles, my man Brian Davis as well, of the Austin American Statesman. When Shaka was asked about the attendance, he said, "We can't control other things that are not under our power. We have to focus on us." And Kirk Bowles tweeted out that for the first time, Shaka Smart acknowledged he was on the hot seat, tweeting out, that Shaka said, quote, I know you guys have a job to do. If we don't play up to expectations, that's your job. But my job is to help my players grow and block everything out. So Shaka said, so in the midst of all of the, you know, hot seat conversation, in the midst of playing in the NIT where there's not really anything to play for, Jackson Hayes, who, by the way, is going to miss the rest of the NIT, no matter how long they play, he's going to be out. That knee injury, he didn't break anything and he didn't tear anything. It's just he's going to be out. We don't really – it's 6 to 8 weeks. It's an injury, so he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with the injury. Definitely going to miss the rest of the NIT. With that, also as an obstacle, as that, you know, more adversity – Longhorns found a way to win. They showed Texas fight. So give it up for the Texas basketball team. We'll talk more about March Madness and Texas basketball since they're continuing to play. They're now 17-6. At least they have a winning record. That's a good thing, too. And if CDC was evaluating the progress of Shaka, and I'm sure that's part of this, too, that, you know, that they wanted to play in the NIT, if they're evaluating Shaka even further, that's a big part of it. Can Shaka motivate these guys? Because there were times in the regular season, even with something to play for, they didn't look motivated. They looked uninspired. And in this game, at least they came out with some fire and showed, you know, a little testicular fortitude. Texas baseball, they got butt whipped yesterday. 11-4, exactly. I think one point it was 11-0 that the Arkansas Razorbacks were up on Texas baseball. They have a chance for redemption today in back-to-back games versus the Razorbacks. I believe after that, you got TCU coming to town to continue Big 12 play. The big story on the 40 acres right now, though, is the buzz that the Tate Martell decision has given a lot of optimism to those who believe that Brew McCoy is going to get the hardship waiver granted by the NCAA. So Tate Martell, in his move from Ohio State to Miami, we don't know exactly what reason he gave, but we assume it had something to do with Urban Meyer leaving Ohio State and a new coach taking over and maybe the Urban Meyer suspension, whatever. He did hire a lawyer, which I think is key. So the hardship waiver is supposed to be for something that happens that's outside of your control, some type of, you know, family crisis or some type of economic crisis or maybe even a medical crisis, something like that. But now the NCAA has broadened the room for interpretation. So Tate Martell gets the hardship waiver. Remember, Justin Fields got the hardship waiver from Georgia to Ohio State. His reasoning had something to do with, reportedly, had something to do with him believing there was a racially tense environment there at Georgia because one of the student-athletes used a racial slur, either talking to him or yelling at him. And that is part of the reason that he decided, hey, this is a hardship and that I want out. That's not the total reason. That's not the entire reason. And we're not privy to that. But just giving you some scope of the new definition of hardship has now boosted the approval rate of the hardship waiver to around 79% to 80%. So 79% to 80% of the players who apply for the hardship waiver, they're granted. They're granted approval. And I'm sure the reasons, they vary from very, very serious to not so serious in the case of Justin Fields and Tate Martell. And honestly, the Justin Fields thing, anytime you're talking about, you know, racial sensitivity, I could see the NCAA saying, we don't really want to touch that. Like, somebody used the N-word again, no, we don't want to touch that. And it's documented that he may have dropped the racial slur. We're not getting into that. We're not going there. Nope, you got that waiver. So I understand that the Tate Martell one seems to be a little bit less substantial. It has a little less substance to it. It's basically he's arguing Urban Meyer got suspended, and that's why, you know, he wants to leave, and Urban Meyer left. His coach left. Ryan Day is now the coach there. He could be arguing, you know, something else. Either way, it's definitely not as serious as the Justin Fields reason that he gave. So I think the NCAA has basically decided now this is a new form of free agency. It's not free agency. You know, these young men, we all agree, are they're not unpaid, but they're underpaid, grossly underpaid. So I consider this kind of restitution. This is what the NCAA is doing. They're basically the jig is up. It's the jig or the gig. The jig is up. So this is all restitution. Think about it. And it's happening slowly but surely. The Ed O'Bannon case, right, where EA Sports decided retroactively and the Supreme Court decided retroactively that they had to pay the players for using their likeness all the way back to 2003, which means I missed out on the payday. I'm not taking that personal. I'm just saying. That was basically restitution, atonement. Yeah, we used your likeness. Yes, we exploited you. Let's actually pay the guys for all the money we made off of their likeness, and they didn't get a piece of it, which we all agree they should get more. The enhanced scholarships, now they have to the cost of attendance and the living expenses, so the scholarships are now more robust. There's more money added to them. The unlimited snacks might be one of the best forms of the NCAA admitting, you know, they were wrong, and, you know, basically it's reparations for the wrong and the exploitation of student athletes. So it's happening slowly but surely. And I think this form of the transfer rule or this version of the transfer market in college football, it's the NCAA deciding, okay, we're going to give the players more rights. We're going to give them more liberties, just like the ones I presented to you as examples, because they know that everybody understands they're exploiting these young men. They're exploiting the college athletes. So just if you can give them enough rights and liberties and perks and hookups and unlimited snacks, then maybe they'll stop suing the NCAA for restitution, you know, or for back pay. And I think that's what's going on. It's really, and some people don't like it. I think if the NCAA really wanted to solve the problem, it's pretty simple. All they have to do is keep the system as it is, the hardships, and the hardships actually should apply to people who have hardships in their lives, you know, things they can't control, getting sick, people dying, you know, stuff like that. But add an academic requirement that anybody who has a GPA of 3.5 or whatever, a GPA of 3.25, whatever, you know, standard they want to make it, they have free reign to transfer. Like, they can transfer. So incentivize and prioritize education and academics. And all these young men would prioritize their education. But it would also give them a tremendous amount of power over their own, you know, their path and where they want to go and where they want to end up. The NCAA doesn't want that, but they really could, in my opinion, solve a lot of problems. Just tie it to academics. They're student athletes, I thought, anyway. Student athletes. So that's what you do. I think I did a little research, and Penn State in 2017, 19 of their 85 players on their roster in their fall semester of that year had a 3.5 GPA. So it ain't going to be a lot of guys. I mean, that's Penn State. Penn State is, you know, you can't be some academic loser and, you know, be some guy who's, you know, got a low SAT score and someone who doesn't take academics seriously going there. So I think, you know, it's going to be less than 25% of the roster that's going to be able to keep that certain GPA and give those guys, just like you did the grad transfer, give those guys a little bit of an advantage and a reward for being academically extraordinary, for being, you know, academically on another level. All right, so we'll come back. We'll talk more about that, the Brew-McCoy situation. That's good news for the Longhorns. If Tate Martell gets it, he'll get it. And if he doesn't, Longhorn fans will rain down hell upon the NCAA, I can assure you. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into the Cowboys, them signing Randall Cobb. We'll talk about the impact, the positive impact. I think that's going to be for the Cowboys. We'll also get into some other NFL news, notes, and nuggets. The Texans signed A.J. McCarron. We'll jump into that a little bit, too. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. We're hanging out here at 7-Eleven La Frontera, 2801 La Frontera, to be exact. I'm looking at the 45 Tollway. So coming out here and visit. We have a lot of folks who came out here to visit. Really appreciate them guys coming by, man. It's been a great crowd. We have some goodies that we've been giving away. All right, for those who've been coming by, so we want to reciprocate the love a little bit. Also, you can download the 7-Eleven Rewards app. All right, this is what, this is, trust me, you want to do this. Download it. It costs you nothing to download. All right, costs you nothing at all. And then for the rest of the week, you get dollar sandwiches. Boom. How about that? That's crazy. I know. I mean, I don't believe it either. I don't know how it's something they're just going to put out there for the rest of the week. They're giving away dollar sandwiches. They better start. I better put a limit on this or something, because I'm going to hit up almost every 7-Eleven on the way home and get dollar sandwiches. It's just going to happen. I'm not saying I'm exploiting it, but I'm going to exploit it. All right, so you can do that. 7-Eleven Rewards app, download it, and I got the sign right here. Includes the bistro, the subs, deli sandwiches that help you up. It excludes the breakfast sandwiches, though. I want to make sure I say that. Coming up for breakfast sandwiches for a dollar, you're going to get, boom, you're going to get the hand to the face. No, they're not doing it. That means the breakfast sandwiches are extra special. That's what that means. All right. So we'll be out here, La Frontera. Come out here and hang out with us. Always a good time. We were talking about the Tate Martell hardship waiver. You know, my man KD had a really good comparison to the hardship waiver now, because now 79% of the players who apply for it are getting it, so they're just kind of giving it out to anybody. He compared it to in the like medicinal marijuana states, when you have to go apply for a medicinal license and tell them why you need a prescription for the medicinal marijuana. And as long as it's valid, you're good. Like, as long as it's not something ridiculous, like, you'll probably get approved for it. If it's a plausible, if not probable, reason for the hardship, I think you'll still get approval for it. And at least it's got to be plausible. Not necessarily probable, but whatever it is, you'll get it. And what's happening is a lot of the guys are getting lawyers to interpret exactly the language that's out there. Tate Martell had a lawyer. He had the same lawyer, I believe. He had Travis Leach. He's a lawyer from, I think from Arkansas. Both these guys, I think, from Arkansas. There's also Thomas Mars, who handled the hardship waiver for Shea Patterson and Justin Fields. So Brew McCoy, I'm sure, is going to have some legal representation, and they will be able to interpret that rule or interpret it in a way that is favorable to Brew McCoy's hardship waiver reasoning, whatever he's applying it for, applying for the hardship waiver for. And I'm assuming it's going to be that Cliff Kingsbury decides to leave. But here's my, you know what it reminds me of, the hardship waiver that's, you know, obviously been given out at a 70, approved at a 79% clip. It reminds me of the ESA, the ESA animals, the emotional support animals, right? Because nobody can define what kind of animal can support you emotionally. In fact, nobody can define what a hardship waiver is for you. If a hardship waiver for you is somebody calling you the N-word and a racial slur, that's a hardship waiver for you. And a lawyer will argue that, like, no, psychologically, this is a hardship waiver for him. And the same thing about your coach leaving and the environment that creates for you. Psychologically, it creates anxiety, all kind of stuff. I don't know what your lawyer can argue, but they do a good job of that. That's their job. And the same thing with the emotional support animals. That's why the planes started to, the airports started to ban certain ESA support animals from planes because people had goats. And they'd bring in peacocks, and they'd bring in rabbits, and they'd bring snakes. And they were like, well, this snake supports me emotionally. It's like, well, who approved that? Well, my doctor did. My doctor, he signed off on it and said, this snake supports me emotionally, and I need it at all times so that I don't lose my freaking mind. I need it so I don't freak out on you. And you really can't. So the airports, when they banned all of these ESA support animals from the planes, they didn't really ban ESA animals, period. They just had to ban certain types of them because everybody had a different one. At first, they used to be dogs. Now they're not just dogs anymore. Used to be dogs and cats. Now they're ferrets and lizards and snakes, because their definition of an emotional support animal is different. And just like the hardship waiver now, that's why people believe it's getting out of control, because the definition of it, the interpretation of it, it varies from person to person. There is no concrete definition of a hardship. Like, there's no concrete definition of your emotional support animal, whatever it may be. All right, so we'll come back. We'll get into the Cowboys and their signing of Randall Cobb. There's also the Longhorn basketball team with their big win over South Dakota State in the first round of the NIT. We'll review that. We'll also get into some other NBA news, notes, and nuggets. I want to talk some Rockets on the show. There's some AAF topics I want to bring up on the show as well. All that and more right here on the Rodcast, live from La Frontera 7-Eleven. It's brand spanking new. Come on out here and celebrate the grand opening with us right now on the Horn. This is the Rodcast, 104.9 and AM 1260.